everybody, and thanks for tuning in this week to the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode number 156. Man, how are y'all doing this week? Shit's getting crazy. Stuff's getting shut down. This coronavirus is turning our lives upside down, basically, man. And, you know, so much stuff going on, work being shut down for people, money being lost, people losing jobs because of it. I've been sent home for 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not losing my job. I do get to collect unemployment while I'm off. I get about 60% of maybe what I was making, and hopefully me and Mrs. Clams will be fine. But other people I know are losing their jobs, losing their wages, don't have much to fall back on, and I'm sorry to each and every one of you that are having these hard times right now. So just thoughts and prayers, you know, to everyone out there and who's having a tough time. And, you know, whole nother thing, wrestling has been shut down, basically. Promotions, the wrestlers, the talents, all been shut down. So do what you can to help support, you know, get the streaming services, pay for that, you know, get some merchandise, and do whatever you can do to help out in this time and help out your fellow man, your fellow neighbor, your, you know, everyone out there. And if anyone needs help, hey, could be just a roll of toilet paper right now. Hey, and that's not even a freaking joke right now, is it really? So, dude, hopefully everyone's all right. You know, they even announced that WrestleMania is canceled finally in Tampa Bay. Probably announced that last week. But I don't know. It sounds like they're going to tape it this week and have it on 2 days on the WWE Network, which, you know, some people are like, cancel it. It'll be stupid. No fans there. But there's going to be a lot of us fans maybe tuning in because we don't have a lot else to watch except for, you know, stuff that's replaying on all the other streaming places right now that you can watch wrestling. So, I don't know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. 2 days, you know, hopefully they'll do about 3-4 hours each day at the most and give us some really good stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with the storylines, but just, I don't know, I'm just looking forward to it, looking to just be able to chill, you know, have a couple glasses of wine and just watch a little wrestling and, you know, relax and have a good time because there ain't really much more about that going on, you know, as far as other live shows, streaming shows. I think Black Label Pro is trying to put on a empty, you know, arena kind of show with the help of donations. Go check that out on Twitter at Black Label Pro and help with what you can. And like I said, I'm looking forward to the WrestleMania just because it'll be something to turn on and have a good time watching when there's not a whole lot else going on. And you know what? Speaking of what else you need to tune into, while time is, you know, you got a lot of it right now. So check out powerslam.tv and use our free promo code BFPWFREE. Head over to powerslam.tv, use that code, and get yourself a free 30-day trial. They have over, the last time I checked, over 6,000 hours of amazing content of independent wrestling from everywhere. PCW Ultra, Bar Wrestling, CCW, Evolve, Smash, and of course, all the Defy Nows. They just put up the Crash one recently with Jeff Cobb taking on Cody Chun. And also, ECC Dub just dropped night 1 and 2 of this year's Ballroom Brawl. So go check that out. Again, use BFPWFREE. Get yourself a free 30-day trial. And, you know, I've been checking out Power Slam. I've been checking out independentwrestling.tv. Also been over on the WWE Network, and just today, finished up, watched it yesterday and today, WrestleMania 20. And, you know, I was watching the documentary on YouTube the other day, Dark Side of the Ring, with the Chris Benoit story. So, you know, I just kind of saw that they were talking about WrestleMania 20, so I decided to tune in to the entire show. And this show was freaking amazing. There was so much talent on this show from top to bottom that I couldn't even believe it, because this was at a time, like 2004, I think it was, where I didn't watch a lot of wrestling at that time due to the person I was married to at the time and just whatever I was doing. But looking back at the show, I mean, it started off with John Cena taking on Big Show for the United States Championship. And I think that was Cena's first time winning that. And that was a great match. Big Show, so great back then. You know, I mean, he always has been great, but he really looked good back then. His agility, his strength. And John Cena being able to just pick him up and, you know, do his moves on that big giant of a man was amazing. And then he had like this tag match with Booker and Rob Van Dam taking on the Dudleys. I mean, there was so much talent in this. And then Christian and Jericho, eventually Evolution, which was Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair, took on the Rock and Sock Connection, Mick Foley and the Rock, and Evolution went over in that. That was really a lot of fun. And then there we had some stupid crap, which was the nightgown match or whatever it was, Torrie Wilson, Sable, and Stacy Keibler and Miss Jackie. Too bad they just didn't let them go out there and have a nice wrestling match back then. But it is what it was. It was what it is. So you know what I'm saying? And then okay, they had a cruiserweight match that had Chavo Guerrero in it, Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, just good stuff there. And then probably the worst match on the entire card, I hate to say it, was Goldberg taking out Brock Lesnar with Stone Cold. I don't know, man. That just didn't work for me. They were stalling too much, taking too much time. The crowd wasn't into it. And we all know why. They all knew they were leaving after that. And then, you know, Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty, Bradshaw and Farouk, the APA. Man, just so much good stuff in this thing. And then, you know, eventually you get to Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle, which was just a classic, I thought. Eddie Guerrero, so good. Getting in there one-on-one with a performer like Kurt Angle, and just they just delivered. It was amazing. Undertaker defeats Kane. That was fun. You know, the Chris Benoit, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels match was crazy phenomenal. You know, Chris Benoit wins. It was a good story at the time. We all know what's up with that, you know, with the dark side of the ring that just came out or whatever it is. And not trying to, you know, put over a murder or anything, but back then the talent that was Chris Benoit was amazing. And Triple H and Shawn Michaels was just busted open during that match. Triple H got color later, but Shawn Michaels was just bleeding so bad. It reminded me of you know, when Dustin and Cody were taking each other on an AEW. Dustin was just busted open, maybe not quite to that point, but it was freaking pretty bad. And man, amazing stuff there. So WrestleMania 20, I would definitely say go back and watch it. Great show from top to bottom. So much talent on there. What old school shows are you watching right now? What would you recommend to people to watch? Go out there, hit us up on Twitter at BFPW podcast, and let us know what else I need to watch these next 6-8 weeks as I'm home. Anyway, let's get to this week's show. I've rambled on long enough. We're going to get to this week's show, and we're going to hear from the one and only, your weirdo hero, the Defy Worldwide Champion, Ravenous Randy Myers, man. Part one, by the way. We talked so long, I had to break it up into two. This week, we talk a lot of great stuff. We talk, you know, we talk about the elephant in the room at the beginning of the show with things getting canceled and everything because the coronavirus, you know. How's it affected Randy, his bookings? We have a nice conversation about that. And then, you know, we talked about, like, what was his plan, you know, since he does the kisses with the audience members. What was he going to do if, you know, shows still happened, or what he's kind of maybe planning on when we come back or whatever. We also talk a recent show where he got up on the stage and kissed a fan. That was a lot of fun. Talk a article in the Wrestling Observer, which kind of put him over after his big win against Schaff at Defy. Man, we talk a little Dusty Rhodes promo and feedbacks, a bunch of Defy matches, and more. Talk about guys like Ethan HD, Dr. Luther, Cody Chun, Juice Robinson, Joey Janela, MJF, and just a whole lot more. And this is just part one. I got a whole bunch more coming. I'm going to drop part two this coming Thursday, so please check it out. It's going to be a great show this week, a great show next week, and I've got a lot of other stuff coming up here in the next 6 to 8 weeks, because like I said, I'm off. I'm unemployed for the next 6 to 8 weeks. I get to stay home. So I'll be able to do a few podcasts, and I'm thinking about dropping maybe 2 a week as long as I get enough stuff going on. Like I said, this week, Randy Myers, you get this podcast that I just dropped, and this Thursday we'll get part two of that. And then we're going to hear next week from the new commentator for Without a Cause, Sarah. Sarah Rose, and she will be announcing when the WAC I Love WAC drops on IWTV here very, very soon. Also, after that, you're going to hear from Jim Valley, podcast extraordinaire, Portland wrestling historian, an amazing dude. Can't wait to talk to him. And then also the host commentator from MLW, Defy, Rich Bocchini. And I can't wait to talk to him, man. So it's going to be a good time. Check out all the shows on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you know, whatever podcast platforms you get your show at. Also, BigfootProWrestling.com. You can get most of the recent shows the last few months over at SoundCloud on the Pro Wrestling Only Network. Follow me on Twitter, at BFPWPodcast. Also, we are proud sponsors of Without a Cause Pro Wrestling. Tickets are on sale right now for WAC, No Handshakes, on May 17th. Get your tickets over there at brownpapertickets.com or head over to WACProWrestling.com. Hey, despite what the hell Braun Strowman says, go over, support your local wrestlers, support your promotions, buy what you can, Patreons, merchandise, the streaming services, and whatever else you can do, and I think they'll very, very, very much appreciate it. And dude, this is the L Train. Hard times right now, as Dusty would say. Let's all stick together. I hope you enjoy the shows as I put them out, and let's leave the station. Hey, before we get to the champ this week, let's talk about some important stuff, and it is nachos. And that's right, we are still talking about nachos this week. You know, everything's going on, staying home, but you still need food. You still need brew. So what they have done, Nacho Mamas and the places that they'll be serving up the nachos this week, hot and fresh, gourmet style, those amazing breweries in the Seattle greater area, the greater Seattle area even. But, dude, they're going to go contactless. Tactless starting this weekend. They're going to raise the prices just a little bit. I'm going to let you know right now, because they're going to cover the tipping in there, the extra cleaning supplies, and the increased cost for the to-go containers. They will not require a signature or any touching, though. So you can work it out. You can head down to Nacho Mama's at the local brews, pick up this, bring your growler, fill it all up, jump back in your car, head home, set it up, and enjoy the best nachos on the planet, along with the best brews in the greater Seattle area. Let me tell you where they're going to be first. This Wednesday, Black Raven Brewing in Redmond from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, the 26th, Stoop Brewing in Ballard, 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday, March 28th, Urban Family Brewing in Ballard, 1 to 7 p.m. And then Sunday, March the 29th, Karn Brewing in Kenmore, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And let me tell you what these specials will be. Full Tilt Nachos, cheddar cheese sauce, spicy chicken, chipotle mayo. Man, that sounds freaking amazing. Sweet bell peppers, pickled jalapenos, sour cream, and cilantro. I need that right now. Dark chocolate brownie with pomegranate jam on that. Oh, that sounds amazing. Chris and Sandra, Nacho Mama's food truck, NachoMamasSeattle.com, at NachoMamas SCA on Twitter, at NachoMamas Seattle on Facebook and Instagram. Like I said, it's all to-go chos this week. Hashtag nachos and beer. Let me introduce to you this week's guest on the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, our weirdo hero, the current and defending, the Defy Worldwide Champion, Ravenous, Randy Myers, man. How you doing tonight, friend?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, darling, pretty good. I mean, all things considered, I'm here, I'm in one piece, I am the current Defy Worldwide Champion, and I'm talking to you, so things could be worse.
And thanks you so much. I know we had a few reschedules, which was on me, so I appreciate your patience so much. But, man, love talking to you. Appreciate you being here so much, man. So, you know, let's just talk about the elephant in the room real quick. You know, the coronavirus has basically shut down the world, right? You know, yeah. All the shows, wrestling shows have been canceled. But not only that, people's jobs are in jeopardy right now. You know, restaurants are shutting down, all these kind of things. How's it going for you at this time? I'm sure bookings, you know, you were supposed to have that match against Judas coming here in the next couple weeks. All your stuff in Canada, man. How's it going for you? Let the folks know how you're doing, man.
Well, like right now I'm trying not to focus because I've lost a lot of bookings, just like all of my indie wrestling friends have and all of my friends within the entertainment realm have. But it's more than that, right? So I'm trying my best not to focus on what I've lost and trying to focus on just trying to keep sane and busy and keep my spirits up and keep myself safe and away from others, because that seems like that's the best thing to do right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. You just got to kind of keep to yourself. Don't hang out with too many people at one time. But, Matt, you know, I don't know what your personal life does. I hope you got maybe some other job that's bringing you some cash in right now, or maybe that's been canceled too, man. I don't know.
Everything's been canceled. I've had last week I had a full week, and then it all got canceled. I was supposed to do a music video with a local band up here called the Rainbow Road that I was really excited about. I had a big match with Nicole Matthews for ECCW at the Ellis Building, which is ECCW is making their new Vancouver home, which is great because we've been without a venue in Vancouver for almost, I think, 2 years now, like a home venue. So it was really, we were all really excited about that. And my day job is as working with people with additional needs and stuff like that. And right now, because they're a vulnerable population, they're trying to like work around that, and they still need help, obviously. But right now, the person I work with primarily is being taken care of by their mother. So my work got canceled as well as my therapy, as well as a bunch of things. But I mean, that's happening for everybody out there. So, left, right, and center, I don't feel like you don't feel bad about for yourself at this point. It's about, coming together and uniting and little bookings here and there. I'll entertain again in the future. My heart goes out to, my additional needs friend who I won't be seeing, because it's got to be really confusing for them at this point. It's confusing for all of us, but more so for them. That's where my heart's at right now. I mean, money-wise, I don't got tons. I never do, to be honest. I don't have a stockpile of money or anything like that. I'm trying to make the best of it as best I can, as best everyone else can, too.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'm so sorry that's happening for you. And it won't happen for everyone. I work at a medical clinic, so we're staying open a little more often than, you know, other folks are right now, like restaurants and, you know, certain coffee shops and, you know, food and certain other things like things that you do too, sir.
Yeah, no. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do and going in. I know you went in yesterday. We had to reschedule yesterday, which I completely understand. But I appreciate you going in and being out there and being like, I don't know exactly know what you do, but sounds fairly front line and mm-hmm. being out there with the public. And now you know, like people can chant Weirdo Hero and I can print it on a t-shirt and stuff like that. But right now we need like the real heroes to step up, and they are. And thank you for that, being one of them.
Well, thank you for that, sir. Just so you know, I do work at a primary care place where, you know, people's primary care doctors there. I work right on the front lines at the front desk. I do a lot of insurance registration stuff. We're seeing people there. We're doing good though, man. We got people at the door screening people before they come in. The folks that are coming in are being super freaking cool. You know, awesome. Hey, we got to take your temperature. We got to do this, like a very 0.000 infinity one down some way down there. There might be a problem with a person. But most okay. of the people are being super cool about it, man. So we all just got to stick together. And, you know, I know a lot of fans are trying to do stuff for the wrestlers and the promotions. And I think that's really cool, too, the people that can do it, man. People are kind of coming together, you know.
That's really what I've seen, too. And in these times of need and in great peril, like the world does tend to come together. And I've seen that through just little, like, little things that have gone on, whether it be like when Calgary, Canada had this big flood that happened there, and the whole city came together and really united and really showed their spirit, where before that there was quite a cold town. But then, you know, during tragedy, people come together and they remember, like, our human instincts come out, and it's great to see that happening right now. And I hope that flow continues to grow and build, and mm-hmm. more people reach out to help each other in the ways that they can. Not reach out with your hands, because if you do, they need to be washed. But like, reach out with your love and your actions as best you can.
Exactly, man. And, you know, just last couple questions before we get to fun stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Real quick, just how's the stores up there? You know, down here in the U.S., you can still find the toilet paper. You got to go in the morning when they're stocking the shelves. It's not impossible to find. You know, water and it seems like hand sanitizer is the one thing you can't get any butter, but there's plenty of soap, I think, still. How are things in Canada when it comes to grocery stores?
I would say that's pretty dead on accurate for what's going on here as well. I noticed that a lot of like the meat sections have been really ravished, and like obviously the canned foods are like dwindling a bit. But then it does feel like there's lots of shipments coming in all the time, because every time I go in, it feels like it's been restocked and then re-ravaged. But you are able to still find stuff on the shelves up here. I think our restaurants are closing, I'm assuming, in the next couple of days. The convenience store said it was going to close. They're just waiting to hear. The gym, I know that those have all closed this week, the public rent centers here. So I think that affects all the public kind of access buildings and stuff like that. Anyone working for the city, I think that's closed down now. So that's pretty much where we stand right now. So it's very similar, I think.
Yeah. Sounds just the same. And I'm sure that's in other countries around the world, kind of all feeling the same thing, man. But we, you know, we can do is try to entertain the people, Randy, like you always do, my friend. And
you know, you got to do something, right?
Exactly. You know, I've seen a couple, like a Black Label Pro, they're going to put on a show, just the wrestlers doing some stuff in front of no one, but they're taking donations. I think there's a couple things like that going on right now. So I think that's pretty fun.
Very cool. Yeah, I think that show, I think I saw the advertisement before. It was called like Empty House with like the Full House style logo.
Yeah.
Which is very, very smart. That Black Label, they're always doing very, very witty stuff. And I'm very interested in what they do down there. and it's great to see. And I know Will Ospreay's also been doing something like that. There's been some talk of some ideas up here of like possibly trying to have some shows that are what would be our performance center, but which is really a really scuzzy building in a gnarly neighborhood, but it's got so much heart and it's beautiful. It's perfect for wrestling. There's been talk of other people doing things. I know there's people up here doing, like, photographers are reaching out to wrestlers to do some promo stuff. And then there's also like that band Rainbow Road actually reached out to me saying that, like, hey, we'd like to maybe help some wrestlers maybe write some theme songs during this time. So yeah, the creativity is really coming up, and everyone's kind of got a moment to kind of, they want to be focusing on other things. Mm-hmm. They want to be focusing on what's not going on outside. They want to be focusing on things that they love and something that, to distract, because there's, it's coming at us from all directions, from your phone, from your computer, from every sort of media outlet you could get it from. It's all telling us the same thing. And so to have a place that you could escape into, I think a lot of entertainers use performing as that place. And when we don't have performances going on, find these other outlets, other creative outlets is great, because you're like, you can't go over it, you got to go around it. It's nice to see creative people doing that.
Oh, man, it's been phenomenal on the, you know, lots to, you know, you got a lot of time right now, certain people, you know, staying home like yourselves and others. But, you know, a lot of time on social media right now. You can kick back and check back on all that stuff and like it and share it with your friends so everyone's seeing it. You know, I'm trying to share everyone that's trying to sell, you know, T-shirts and doing videos and things like that. So, you know, us on our end over here, us fans, we're trying to do our part for all you entertainers that are just, you know, make our lives so much fun, you know, a couple times a week when we watch you guys.
Oh, that, and I've seen that from the fans. The outpour has been great. I can't, like, the fans that I've been fortunate enough to have come into my life have been nothing but supportive and incredible and inspiring and all these things. And yeah, to see the way that they're coming up to and they're uniting. Like, I had people reach out to me to make, fans reach out to make music videos, and fans reach out to do drawings and things like that. So there's like, it's everybody that's kind of coming together, and we're all kind of, I think it's kind of evening the plane where we're all seeing that we're all in the same boat. And as much as that boat right now sucks, it's great to remember that humanity is all in one boat. And it sucks that it takes something like this for us to see that, but it feels like that's what's going on.
And think of this just for a minute, in a few months, couple months, 3, 4, 5, whatever it might be, we don't know right now, right? But yeah, when those first shows start kicking up again, you know, on the indie scene, or, you know, WWE, any of them, man, the pops are going to be hot when the, you know, you guys get to walk the aisle again, if I could quote Ric Flair.
Oh, no, totally. I'm sure I'm not the only one fantasizing about those moments. And, like, when At Last hits, how right is that? Like, geez, that's going to be a moment where it's, like, so freaking appropriate. And the first time I can, like, healthily smooch somebody, oh, my goodness. Like, this is... That'll be, yeah, the moment I'm just waiting for. So whether it be a month or 2 months or 3 months, hopefully, yeah, you know, whatever time it takes, you know, where, yeah, it's going to be great. Those moments are going to be, when you don't have it, it'll just taste that much sweeter.
Well, yeah, and you talk about the smooches, and, you know, everyone loves you, Randy. Everyone wants to get that kiss from you walking through the crowd, buddy. And, man, what was, did you have a kind of a plan just in case the shows didn't stop? Just kind of like, you know, do the you know, kiss to the hand and blow it over there kind of thing? And, you know.
Yeah, I thought about something even at like the last Defy show, which was my last performance. I had plans to do something along those lines, like maybe come out with the mask on or something like that, and be sad about the fact I couldn't kiss. But it just didn't feel like the right night for that. And yeah, if it had carried on, that was the last night for sure. I wouldn't have been doing any more kisses after that. And it would have been, yeah, probably blowing kisses or something where, like, I look all emphatic to go give the kiss and then my heart's broken that I can't.
No.
So yeah, playing on that little bit of emotion. Yeah. So I had something.
Oh, man. Speaking of the kisses real quick, before I get to my next thing on the list here, I was at, the Defy Wrestle Summit Night 1, I think it was, and okay, you were coming out, and I was up on the stage, and a dude just right in front of me to the right, like, I don't know if he blew you a kiss, looked at it, you came up on the stage and give that man a kiss. It was great, man. I was so happy for him.
Yeah, I think I remember that. You're just marching through the fans. I think the fans, I walked kind of like, had to walk almost over them to get to the fan on the stage. And where is he going? But yeah, no, sometimes I'll feel that like look or something, or like that draw, that connection I'm making with the fans. And it's just like a alien with that tractor beam or whatever just sucks me in.
Well, I remember you looked over. And you saw him, and you kind of looked at the folks that were sitting, you know, the couple rows there that are in front of the stage, and you just did your hands together, did the separation, and everyone just moved, and you popped up there. And Aubrey Edwards even was there, and she jumped over and held the guy's beer that was sitting on the stage so it didn't jump over while you guys had the moment. So what a fantastic time.
Well, listen to that. That's exactly what we were just talking about too, where it's like that unity, right? And that's the thing about that I love so much about wrestling fans and Defy especially, where it just feels like there's like we're all working together, and it's like the fans didn't mind that I separated, that they were willing to separate, and we got fabulous referees from one of the greatest, hottest wrestling promotions going, willing to hold a beer so that we could have this special moment. It's like, yeah, it's just all coming together.
See, she's still looking out for us, even when she's not working the show. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
But, dude, speaking of the Defy shows, man, let's kind of get to it before we completely get in to the major championship that you just won. I see there's a article up on the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer and the folks over there, and man, this article sounded fantastic the way it put it over, man. I know you read this. What are your thoughts on the article?
I was blown away. The Wrestling Observer was like, so I started in Calgary at the Dungeon and all that, and that history's maybe been told enough times, but the Wrestling Observer would always come, the newsletter, like the printed newsletter, would always come to the gym I worked out at, because it was the wrestling gym. And it would always come, it would always be an issue for Ross Hart that would come monthly. And I remember seeing those like in my very first days of wrestling. And just like, it always had this mystique surrounding it. And the people that they were talking about, at that point, they were wrestlers that I didn't even necessarily know. They were talking about wrestlers from Japan and all over the world that I wasn't aware of yet. And here, like, this exciting magazine was, and it always kind of had that like wrestling zine vibe, where it's like kind of, it's underground and it's not necessarily for the mainstream. So I always thought it was kind of cool how it was just like, yeah, the dirt sheet, you know. And then, yeah, to like, I woke up one day and then there was a notification on Twitter saying that, have you read this article about you? And when I read, like, the fact that it was in the Wrestling Observer blew me away, and then the contents of it like stopped me again, took me back, and like I'm still at a loss for words, and normally I'm a man who can spill out gibberish a lot of the time. But in this case, I was taken back. Like, the comparisons they made were just, like, yeah, the best comparisons you could ever want. And at this point is the point in my career where I feel actually, like, seen the most for the first time. And there was, like, they talk about me being openly gay, which is not necessarily true. I am openly pansexual, which means I'm open to any sort of gender, whatever kind of, if I find you hot, if you're hot, you're hot. I've always kind of felt that way, where it doesn't feel like I'm this or I'm that. So that was a little bit, I cleared that up when I reposted it on Twitter. Mm-hmm, but other than that, it was just like incredible. Like, and I completely understand things not being understood there, and I'm willing to talk about it. I'm an open person. So, but yeah, being in the Wrestling Observer, having that, like, that Dusty Rhodes comparison was like,
yeah,
beyond anything I could ever imagine. I've obviously always looked up to Dusty.
That's what really stood out, not to interrupt you, sir, but that's what really stood out. You know, you're talking about that, and all of a sudden Dusty came up, and I'm like, that's it. He's got that Dusty charisma when he comes to the ring, man. And I'm not just trying to, you know, blow smoke or anything like that. When I read that, I completely understood it.
Well, he's always been like a inspiration to me, and I've never tried by any means to emulate wrestlers. I try and kind of do my own thing and breathe my own life into wrestling, because I feel that if you take too much from wrestling, you're not giving enough back. So I like to, like, take ideas from here and take ideas from there and then morph them into my own ideas. But Dusty's always been an inspiration for me. And in 2009, I went down to a Florida tryout for WWE. And Dusty was the one who was running the promos. Every day we were doing promos. And the wrestling stuff was, as it is, it was drills. It was hard. It was grueling. But then at the end of the day, I knew promos were coming. And that was like the moment where I was like, I got to shine. I got to shine in front of one of my heroes. I got like direct feedback from Dusty on promos. And he was actually the first one. At that point, I'd always been teased and mocked for my feminine nature and for being open with my sexuality. And there were some hard points in my life about that. So in wrestling, I wasn't wearing it on my t-shirts like maybe I might wear today. It wasn't something I was hiding, but I just wasn't something I was broadcasting either. And then Dusty had seen like my mannerisms and picked up on that. And said like, maybe that's something like you should lean towards, like, and still then I was nervous and to show my true self. And then not until I was able to show my true self, do I feel that I was able to be seen. So it's this whole, and then to be compared to Dusty, who was the one who gave me the inspiration to be my true self. It's just like full circle and incredible.
Oh man, it's a great article. Everyone needs to check it out over at the Wrestling Observer, or you just, you know, I'm pretty sure it's on Randy's, you know, social media shared there. You can see it. You can kind of enlarge it, read the thing. Really great. And it's awesome. And also, by the way, some of that stuff you were just talking about, working down in Florida, doing some of that stuff. The last time me and you talked, my friend, it was August 5th, 2018. And it's been a little while, man, like a year and a half, right? And that was episode number 72 for the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. And we talked about all kinds of that stuff. So I just want to let people know, if you're enjoying this show, go back if you haven't heard episode number 72, because it's also a winner. It's in the top 10 of my all-time listen to podcast, I should say, too.
72, top 10.
There we go, baby. I was born in 1972 also. Hey, anyway. Hey, man, let's go back a little bit. And before we get to that, you know, big championship victory, let's go back a little bit and talk a little Defy Wrestling, if you don't mind.
No, for sure. Let's do it.
You know, I'm just going to try to go in order here as much as I can, what I wrote down, what I got here on the internet. But, you know, I might jump around a little bit.
Dude, no worries.
Exactly.
I do that all the time.
You think, you seem like you're the guy that, no matter what I say, you're ready.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was born Randy. I mean, born ready.
You are, man. And let me check this out. April 13th, 2019. Defy, Wolves at the Door. Tell us about Jimmy Havoc. Was this the first or second time that you guys had met?
That would be the second time we met at Wolves at the Door. And Jimmy's the best. Like, the moment we first met, I knew we were going to hit it off. As soon as I saw this like sad looking emo boy, I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely something I can work with. I know how, I knew we would have like minds, and I'd seen his work before. Obviously his promos are phenomenal, and it's someone I was very excited to work with. So at Wolves at the Door, yeah, that was our second encounter, which involved a ball gag, as most people's second encounters do. And dives off balconies. So, and I think I stable gunned his nuts. That might have been the first time, you know. At first dates, you sometimes forget. But, you know, Jimmy's one of my favorites. And we were actually just corresponding today, hoping to arrange some stuff for after this whole outbreak is over. But, you know, I sense that he may have known that something was coming with those, like, surgical masks he's been wearing for a while. So, like, I don't know. He's maybe one you want as a friend at this time.
And I think that match was one of the Portland shows, was it not? Down at the Hawthorne?
Yeah, that was at Hawthorne. Yeah, which that building, I miss going down to Portland because that building was hot.
Yeah, it was at, I think, one of the shows at least down there, maybe two. But, yeah, I enjoyed it, man. It was like, it seems a little bit smaller than Washington Hall.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Still really nice, though, man. And that's where you had that great entrance when you're going to take on Joey Ryan, which turned into a tag match against, you know, Drexel and Dr. Cleaver.
Yep.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, definitely there. Joey's another one that's just like, there's so many interesting characters in wrestling right now that's like, I started in 2000, so I've seen kind of like the evolution of wrestling, and I've seen it go from like, in 2000, it was definitely more like, it was like the Attitude Era. So there was a lot of people who were still interested in like very much hardcore wrestling and stuff like that. Ben came in like UFC, and people started really being more like using their real names and trying to be these like real characters, but without having any character. And then now we're in this place where there's so many interesting different people I can play with out there that are like super creative. And that's the avenue that they've gone down, because wrestling's got so many different avenues. But it's, yeah, Joey Ryan's so good.
And I've watched that video back on YouTube quite a few times, or over on Defy on Demand, or over at Power Slam, wherever you want to watch it, man. And it's really fun. I'm like, people come over, I'm like, dude, let me show you this thing. Because, you know, you come out, it was great, man. And I'm just just reliving this with you, man, because you came out, you had your Mickey Mouse hat on.
Okay, yep.
And you did that walk around the ring, you know, you kissed a couple, you know, fellas with the beards around the ring, sat on the one guy's lap for a second, you got in there, and then, you know, your entrance is over. But then Joey came out. Did you introduce him that night, or was that somebody else?
No, I think I did that night.
Exactly, exactly. But then he came out, did his thing, and then he had the sucker, and who wants the bull pop? And Randy Myers is jumping up and down as far as you possibly could, man. And, dude, I couldn't laugh and just have a good time at that. Every time I see it, man, I just die. I love it.
Thank you. That was so much fun. And like, it just, like, that's the thing. He's got so much like fun things to work with, whether it be the blow pop or the oil, the baby oil to rub him down with.
Oh, yeah. You did the back. You did the back, right?
Yep, I did. I did. Yeah, that was, yeah. He's such a great performer. Such a great performer. And I'm so lucky to have Defy giving me these great opportunities and stuff like that.
Oh, man, it's fantastic. Let me just move on to something else here. You got to wrestle at Defy Into the Fire on, what was it, May 10th, I think I wrote down here. It's pretty sad. I can't read my own notes, right? Tom Lawler, man. Tell us, I mean, you didn't really come out on the good end that night, but that had to be a good time facing a dude that's been in, you know, MMA, UFC fighting, and, you know, he's champion in a couple different places around the country. And tell us about taking on a, you know, not quite a monster, but a machine a little bit, right?
Totally. Well, like, being from, like, Calgary, there was a lot of, like, that, like, kind of shoot-based stuff based in the wrestling that I was taught and trained. Well, more so how I was thrown and how people were taught to do things on me. But, like, for example, like, Davey Boy Smith Jr., he was so into that style of wrestling and like the mixed martial arts and stuff like that, like way before it really reached its peak in popularity. So I was kind of used to being twisted and tormented and tossed by somebody who's got ridiculous brute strength and like ape strength. And I'd say that Tom Lawler falls under that same parameters. But like so fun, like Tom Lawler, the thing that I think is underestimated is he is a machine, a phenomenal athlete. And I love following him on social media, on Instagram, and watching his workouts and stuff like that. They're great. But he's so fun. Like that's where like I think he's underestimated as a performer, because he is like so well-rounded. He's so fun on top of being so technical, on top of being a phenomenal athlete, that he reminds me like a shades of like Kurt Angle, he really shows so much ass, but in go time, you know that he's just like could kick some ass at the same time. And those performers are few and far between. You normally see somebody more along the lines of like a Brock Lesnar, who's like a serious ass kicker all the time. But then when you've got somebody who can be a full, well-rounded sports entertainer like Tom Lawler, it's so good. So good. Actually, at the Defy Christmas party, he hosted a podcast there, and that's where we had our first encounter. And they were taking questions from the fans, and the one question was from me, and it was, have any of them ever been kissed in the ring? It was Lance Storm, it was Brian Alvarez, and it was Tom Lawler. And Tom Lawler was like, no, but I'm willing to start right now. And then we, right there in front of the Defy party, had a big smooch. And I took a big fall backwards, and next thing I know, I was dressed up as sexy Santa Claus that night, wearing a green beard. I was shirtless and plaid pants, because that's what sexy Santa wears. And I'd been like really excited for the gig, so I hadn't been necessarily drinking enough water, I guess, that day. But I like pulled an ab, so I took the kiss, I rolled, took this big fall back, was selling it like a damsel in distress or in the 1940s. And then I'm like fanning myself as I leave the room, wondering whether I have to rush to the emergency room because I think I have a hernia.
Oh no.
So then I go and I lay down in the men's room on the floor and had to massage my ab back into place, because what it had done was it had popped out. But yeah, Tom Lawlor, yeah, he brings on all sorts of different feelings from my body, but one of them is a near hernia.
Well, I really liked what you said about Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle, like, when he was one of the best at making fun of himself, but using it to better himself and the people with him, and still would just lock you up and put you in all those holds. And as a fan, when you said that, man, that is just so makes sense. And Tom Lawlor does that. I mean, this guy comes out to New Kids on the Block sometimes, hanging tough. And then he comes out to, what is it, Seal, Kiss from the Rose?
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose, which blew me away. I think I ring announced him one time, and he came out to Kiss from a Rose, and I was just like, how do I keep my composure in this? How do I not just fangirl out right now? I think he had a fake rose. I think he ended up giving it to me at some point. It was just, I was in heaven. It was great.
Oh, man. Fun stuff there, man. But let me just jump up a little bit here, and then I'm going to go to, I think it's August 23rd. There was a couple shows, the New Japan show, and then Defiance Forever at the Tacoma Temple Theater. And you got to take on Juice Robinson, man. And I was there for that show live, and so fun with you guys, man. Just a great time. He seemed like almost a perfect opponent for you, man. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Juice, I met Juice actually during that 2009 tryout for WWE. He was the one running the drills. Actually, like, he was the one showing us the example, and was very kind to me there. And then, so when I knew that we were working again, I knew it was just going to be easy, because, like, I already knew he was laid back and cool, and I was excited to see all, like, the tricks he had learned in Japan and stuff like that, and just, like, how he'd matured as a performer. And that was so fun. As soon as we, like, got to talking, I knew we were on the same page, and, like, it was going to be a weird night involving me a strip tease for him, me wearing all of his clothes and giving it a good sniff first, and then stripping them off one by one for him, and ended with a consent-filled kiss over a beer. And yeah, it was, Juice is great. And was mentioned also in that same article, actually, in the Wrestling Observer, just in for the performance that he put on recently. And just an underrated performer, and, like, a sweet, sweet, sweet person. And that's what we need more of, is weirdos like that.
And I've got a list, but I didn't write this one down. It just came to my head, man, because I remember watching the show and you were coming out, and your intro, probably for the first time, ever got interrupted at Defy, and you were going to take on the one MJF, man. And any thoughts on that, a-hole? No, I only say that to him. No disrespect. I don't know him personally, but he is a amazing heel over there at AEW and anywhere he goes.
I think you'd truly be offended if you didn't. That about him, he's he is that heel. He's terrible. He has terrible human instincts as a person. He thinks deviously, where, like, I think certain people are born to be heels and certain people are born to be baby faces, where it's very difficult for me to go out there and portray myself as a baddie. It's not, doesn't come naturally to me. The stuff feels forced. I feel like I have to put on someone else's clothes or pajamas to fill that role. But he just slides and slinks right into those pajamas like they were, like, knit from his own scabs or something. He's vile and fits that role so perfectly and isn't cool, where so many heels try and be so freaking cool. I'm going to do all the cool moves. I'm going to do all the heel tactics. Which I think is a confusing message to fans, truthfully, where I feel it's like you're cheering this person you admire does these horrible things, but then you also cheer them the next second. And I think that's kind of confusing, where I understand just because you're a jerk doesn't mean you can't necessarily do a backflip, but I think sometimes it can be confusing to a little fan's mind, where there's no doubt in anyone's mind that MJF is the bad guy. And yeah, cuts off my music, tried to kick me in the junk afterwards when I tried to give him a kiss, or he offered to give me a kiss, and then he tried to kick me in the junk, and then I kicked him in the junk. So yeah, he's terrible, but I'm very excited to see where his career goes.
And then another Defy opponent that just came to my mind again, man. I see you're here all night, man. I can keep thinking of so many great things that I didn't even write down for you because you're
so great at talking with me here.
Joey Janela, man. And there were so many chairs in that match. You guys landed on them. I don't know if we talked about it the first time because I don't remember the date of that match, but just your quick thoughts on that one.
Janela's a wild man. Like, that match was insane. It was not at all what I expected, which I knew I should have expected something. I didn't know what I watched Joey Janela for a while, and I know kind of what to expect, but he brings so many different sides. He's another well-rounded performer where he can wrestle and he can go hardcore and he can do comedy shtick very well. So I didn't know which side of Janela I was going to be seeing in that ring. Reminds me of, like, not in wrestling style, but in energy of a Roddy Piper, just where just you don't know what's going to necessarily happen from this person next, which I love, but is terrifying when you're their opponent. And there was definitely things in that match that I don't think either of us had knew, we didn't see coming. There were moments that were, very much as real as real can get. And just really incredible though, like brought me up a level, which really, like, I was really happy with that match. It brought out an intensity in me that I don't always have, but I needed in that match, because if I didn't have it, I would have not left that building necessarily in one piece. And I left like pretty scraped up and pretty beaten up to be anyways. So Janela's awesome. Like, that's my favorite thing about AEW is just seeing people like Janela and Jimmy Havoc, like getting these opportunities, and Darby. And I'm so excited to see these new fresh faces within wrestling. And they feel like faces that we've been wanting and waiting for a long time. And so Janela, such a bizarre human, but a great, great opponent.
And nice to see those folks that have been on Defy over at and other places around here, right? On AEW, they even got Dr. Luther just signed a contract, I think. So good for those guys and ladies.
I have good things about Luther too. Like, Luther's also from trained in the Calgary region. We have a kinship in the way that, like, he was from that first kind of, he was from an earlier like Lance Storm and Chris Jericho era, and then he didn't necessarily have the same careers that they had. He didn't get the same television exposure that they had, but like kept his heart true and kept at it. And I kind of feel that, like, it's similar to the way I was in the dungeon with Natalya and with Rick Victor and with Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Tyson Kidd and all those names and stuff like that. So I kind of feel we have the weirdo kinship that way.
And that's a bunch of nice people to have a weirdo kinship with, man.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, man. Let's see, man. And then, I was going to bring up next, there was the Wrestle Summit couple nights, man. And night one, it was Team Hammerstone taking on Team Shaft, back when you and Shaft were still boys, apparently.
Yeah.
Or friends, I should say.
And I still need to be informed about when he decided to not be my boy anymore, but that's just fine.
I know. So we got to see the Cook brothers, Hammerstone, Jarrell Nelson, who I'm a big fan. I love that guy when he comes around. Travis Williams, who's another phenomenal guy up there in Canada. When I see him at Defy, Without a Cause, the other shows, just completely sold on him. Love his heel work, man. His, all that he does. And then they took on Cody Chung, Rosas, Judas Icarus, another amazing talent right now. Shaft, sure. And this guy named Randy Myers, man. Tell us about that show.
That show was great. That match was full of like you just listed off so many incredible performers in that match. I would want to second your statements on Travis there. Like, Travis is another person, like we just mentioned MJF, but I think falls under that same umbrella of like, I'm clearly a heel. There's no gray area there, like just giving us pure, unadulterated heel realness, and it's gorgeous, like at its best. And Judas as well. Judas is like just interesting to watch in all ways, whether it be the fact that he has no shoes on, or the fact that he looks like Jack Tom Cruise, or the fact that he's just grunting and making weird noises. Like, he's so fun. That night was like, as soon as I saw that I was working on that team against that team, I was super stoked. And Shaf, I have nothing but great things to say about at that point. And Hammerstone again is another one that's just like, you just like, he's phenomenal. Like the stuff he can do in that ring, the size he is, and his commitment to wrestling, and those he has veins in his thighs that are like, how do you get a vein in your thigh like that? I don't know.
He just works out everything. But just real quick, did Hammerstone get a hold of you that night? You know, I'd seen the match, but I can't recall. It was like a lot of action going on.
I think he killed me a little bit. I want to say it was, totally. There was a moment where I was on his shoulders and Judas Icarus came for a crossbody. And then I got the Samoan drop as he fall away slammed Icarus, just showcasing his disgusting amount of strength. But there was, if looking back, he like, I took a solid Samoan drop, I would say. Definitely. It was a solid feeling. So, that was our only interaction. I think right after that, I think I got revenge with a cactus clothesline to the outside.
Oh, man. And it looks like those guys kind of went over that night on you guys. Sad to say.
Yeah. You know, I don't think like our team was all on the same page as much as I think we just all went in there with different game plans. And I think when that happens, sometimes you don't get that coercive kind of unit. And I think Schaff was our leader that night. And to be honest, I don't think his head was in the right place.
Gotcha. But I will say this, the amount of talent in that ring on that very match was incredible,
sure.
Man. Like I said, Travis and Judas and, you know, Jarrell, you know, your guys. Cody's doing big things at Defy. You know, he just got his ass beat, but gave it everything he had the last couple times between Jeff Cobb and then,
right?
The giant, Brody. Brody.
Yeah.
Sorry, I almost forgot, but how can you forget, right?
No.
If you keep looking at his picture in your mind long enough, you'll remember his name.
Oh, for sure. No, it'll come up. He'll force it, like, mind stick it in your head. No, Cody's incredible, too, and I love being, like, as much as I love working with Cody in the ring, I love being on the apron with Cody, because if you actually watch back, we teamed that time, and I think we were also Team Defy one other time, mm-hmm. or something like that, was a multi-man match. And if you watch me and Cody, we're always chatting on the apron, like, making each other laugh, and, like, just, like, kind of giving each other play-by-play of the match. And so he's just fun, whether he's in the ring or outside of the ring.
I think the match you're talking about was when it was you, Chun, and Schaff against, oh my gosh, the guys from AEW.
Oh, yeah, against SCU. Yeah.
SCU, man, and that was so much fun. You know, a phenomenal match, you know, just real quick. Wasn't even on my list. See, another thing popping into my head, just talking to you, man. And, SCU.
I think that one was with Swerve. That was me, Swerve, and Schaff.
Oh, you're right now. It wasn't Chun. I'm sorry.
Me, Chun, I think, it was another one. I think it was me, Chung, Sonico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was the time, I think it was when with Super Crazy and we ended up having the Super Kiss party.
Yes, that's it. I see it right here, I think, on my list. But yeah, man, that was another phenomenal time too, that match against SCU, and it ended, and those guys put you guys over so much at that time. That was so much fun.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, and Christopher Daniels is one of those guys. He was the first name I actually ever wrestled, but 10 years ago or something like that, maybe probably 15 years ago. And was so kind to me then, like held my hand through a match, through at that point was by far my best match. And then we'd work together also as, one time he wasn't actually able to make it, and so I wrestled Curry Man instead. He's a phenomenal opponent, and just like one of the, like a nice guy, genuinely nice guy, like one of my favorite people to have in the locker room. And last time we wrestled, I was able to like take him aside and tell him that, like how much, because he's always been an inspiration to me, being that he was like that indie guy when I got into wrestling. He was like, there weren't a lot of indie guys, and he was like the cool indie guy. And he came to Calgary at one point, and I saw him perform, and he was so kind to me then. And just so cool. Christopher Daniels is so cool. Then the other guys are so great too. And look at Scorpio Sky right now, on fire.
Oh, yeah. Kazarian, those guys, man. Another great, AEW team, and just doing it all over the independent scene too, man. And coming and just putting over, you know, a great promotion like Defy and everywhere they go. So that's so great when they do that. I think, was that the same night
The Bucks night?
The Bucks night.
Yeah, I think it might have been. I think you're right. I think it was.
And Joey was hosting, and
yeah,
there we go. Him and Rich, yeah, yeah, that was a great night, man. What so much fun?
Yeah, I know, incredible. Like the place, that the noise when the Bucks came out was just like in the back. It was just like phenomenal. Like that building, there's something about the acoustics in it that just echo everywhere. Like I'm sure our neighbors hate us, but. Oh.
I'm not sure that it's got to be, man, but because it's Capitol Hill. It's a little alternative up there. Maybe they don't care too much.
Hopefully not. At the very least, they know all of our names and they're wondering, who are these people with these weird names that keep chanting? Why do they all have a different rhyme scheme or like a different rhythm?
Exactly. Maybe we should like get a couple tickets and see what's going on over there.
There you go.
Anyway, I kind of jumped around there, but I'm going to go back to Wrestle Summit, not Wrestle Summit, night two. The Guns took on you and a guy we were just talking about, right? Jimmy Havoc?
Yep. Which is awesome. Like, Teemo Emo is what I like to think of me and Jimmy Havoc. yeah, and taking on the Guns. The Guns are great. Like, they're such... They're so talented, and another one, like Ethan is another one. Both of them actually are great at doing like comedy as well as they are at doing wrestling stuff. And I've always had like really great chemistry with both of them. Me and Mike Santiago, I think he plays a very great heel as well. And it just like contrasts me like so well. He looks like he doesn't want to be anywhere ever. And I've always tried to look like I'm having or am. Truthfully having so much fun at most of the 99.9% of the time when I'm in that ring, especially. So I think that just play off each other so well. And so Jimmy's just like, again, great. And like, there was some great moments in that match where I think they got the staple gun and it was a good night. And I, like I said, the Guns are something. Like Ethan is, whether it be like his comic book store or whether it be doing the training that he's done all over the world, actually, as such a dedicated performer. He has his stand-up, he's rapped. I've known Ethan forever, and I've just seen him grow and grow and grow, not only as like a performer, but as a human. And yeah, just has his heart's in the right place, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's one of my goals to maybe like go to his comic book shop and sit down with him with a couple mics and just talk comics and fun stuff and just wrestling, but hopefully I can get him on here one of these times. He just seems like a super nice dude.
Yeah, he's really cool.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.